than in your presence. Lord, we're overwhelmed by your grace towards us. Lord, that you should die for a wretch like me. Lord, that you should die for someone like me. That you should know me even before I was born and have plans and purposes for every single one of us. Lord, that you should choose to take our weaknesses and turn them into great strength in your name, that your name might be glorified. Oh Lord, truly at times like this, we realize just how awesome and how wonderful you are. What it is to be in your presence. Lord, there's truly no better place than to be in your presence. Lord, all darkness has to flee in your presence. All doubts, all fears, all concerns. Lord, in your presence when we know you, your mighty, overwhelming glory. Lord, we say you are God. You are great. There is nothing too hard for you. There is no circumstance beyond your control. There is nothing, Lord, that you cannot do in our hearts and in our lives. There's no heart you cannot turn. There's no sickness you cannot heal. There is nothing too hard for you. Whatever is burdening on our hearts now, whatever is on our minds and overwhelming, Lord, we just say thank you that, Lord, the giants can become grasshoppers in your presence. Lord, in Jesus' name, those things that are mountains become level in your presence. And we thank you for that, Lord, even this morning, that, Lord, we glorify your name. We lift you high and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come into every heart, come into every life. In every situation we pray, even this day, in your mighty name we pray. Amen. Do you know what? We could have stayed in that place all morning, couldn't we? The presence of God. And it is just such a privilege to be in his presence, isn't it? And to know that. And who wants more of that? We do, don't we? We want more of God. And God gives us his presence in this way, not just for today, but I believe that we've experienced something today that we can take with us for tomorrow and for the days and weeks afterwards as we seek him and hunger after him. Because God, I believe, wants to create such a hunger and thirst in our hearts that we are on our knees to him, crying out for more of this. This is just a taste of what we can have throughout the day and our tomorrows and weeks ahead, because God wants us filled so that we can be poured out for him. God's got his name written over every single one of us. Amen. He really has. And when we go out in his name, people are not just looking at us, but they're looking at lives. Lives transformed by the power of God. Our testimony, the story of God that each one of us has, those who have turned to Christ, is powerful. The devil hates our testimony. It is powerful. It transforms lives. It just breaks through in a tremendous way. It destroys the work of the enemy. It's reality, isn't it? And I believe God wants to remind every one of us today to think about our testimony. Think about it. Think about the journey that God's taken you on. Think about all he's done in your past, all that he's doing now, and glory, all that he will do in the future. If we give ourselves to him, if we continue to run the race, if we continue steadfast on this journey, and it's days like this, mornings like this, where the presence of God comes, and we think, glory to God, this is a race worth running, isn't it? It really is, when we're in his presence. And you know, there are so many people in our own lives and in this world who need to hear this gospel message, this great story and wonder of God, this message of hope to this world that we live in. The God of love, he loves us so much. And Jesus has given us, the church, you and me, a great commission, hasn't he? To go therefore and make disciples. People learning to love and to serve the living God and teaching others also how to do the same. God so loved the world. I just love that. Doesn't that just somehow just fill you with wonder? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, so that we might have life in his name. We forget these things too quickly, folks, don't we? But I believe God is bringing this back to us again, this great understanding of his love for us and his love for this world that we live in. And to be filled with God, filled with his love. You know, we have, a vision in this church to love God with all of our hearts, to love one another and to love others. So simple, isn't it? Simple sounding. But it starts with this great love of God, this great depth of love and understanding of God. And God has shown us the depth of his love. In Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that whilst we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of God, folks, isn't it? Now, did God sort of say, well, I'll wait until you're good enough. I'll wait until you've reached a certain level of holiness. I'll wait until I see them trying their best. No, it was whilst we were yet sinners and far from him that he died on the cross for our complete forgiveness, every sin forgiven in Christ. We have salvation in no other name, do we, than the name of Jesus. And we're his disciples called to serve in his name, in the name of Jesus. Everything that we do for him, for his glory, that he might be made known. The poor, the vulnerable, the needy, we can serve in the name of Jesus and see lives transformed, can't we? We can bring the good news to everybody. It's a message that's for everyone. And it says it's the power unto salvation for everyone who believes. And it's a message, it says, isn't it, in Romans 1, that we should never be ashamed of. Never ashamed of that wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we mustn't underestimate, folks, the power in the local church to heal the broken, to save the lost, to deliver the oppressed, to set people free from addiction, to restore the broken and broken relationships, and to transform lives. You know, there's many organizations in the world that have catchy phrases. I've worked for a number of them. And, you know, to transform communities. We hear this, don't we? Build better lives. You know, but we know the one who transforms communities. We know the one who builds better lives. We know the one who can do all of this in reality, don't we? It's not just words to us. This is the truth, that God can transform a life. God can turn a heart. God can heal and God can deliver in the name of Jesus, the wonderful name of Jesus. In Acts 1, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost wasn't so that we could have just Spirit-filled meetings, was it? And we want those. Glory to God when he comes into our presence in this way. It wasn't just so that we could have anointed worship in a gathering like this. It is to transform our lives. It's to transform us, to give us the power to live as we cannot live without him. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? We need the power of God at work in our lives, transforming us and changing us. And as I said before and as I prayed before, I really do believe, you know, that when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, and we've seen it over the years, when we meet other people, it really is literally as though people see the handwriting of God all over our lives. This is the witness. This is the testimony. Living epistles, not written with pen on paper, but written on our hearts, written in our lives, written so people can read us and see us and see the glory of God and say, truly, God is in this person's life. Truly, God is in the midst of these people, because they see God written all over us. I just love that thought, don't you? You know, and so we miss this sometimes. We go along in our day and perhaps we miss this truth that actually people see and read our lives. When we don't respond in a way that people expect us to respond, or they see other people responding, they see something in us, and it's the handwriting of God, isn't it? The grace of God has changed us and transformed us into something that we couldn't have been without him. We're called to be his witnesses, living epistles. God never, ever intended us to live a powerless life and to do all of this on our own, in our own strength, in our own power, with our own wisdom, with our own giftings. That is nothing compared to the power of God in weakness. When we are weak, when we acknowledge that we cannot do it, then God can move in. He pours in. He fills us with his spirit when we cry out to him and ask for him in truth. And God wants to be known, you know, as a generous God, a father who always wants the best for his children. He wants to be known as a God who can, doesn't he? Not a God who can't. Not a God who maybe can. He's a God who can. In Ephesians, it says that he's rich in kindness and grace. That he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. And this is the generosity. And showered us, showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God is a God who doesn't just give in small measures. He wants to shower upon us, doesn't he? In Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, it says, then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. This is Moses. And he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. This is the lavish nature of our God. He's filled with love. He's filled with compassion. And he lavishes on us. In Psalm 65, I read this in the prayer meeting, verses 9 to 13, it says, the river of God has plenty of water. It provides a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness become lush. Pasture and hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep. And they all shout and sing for joy. Isn't this wonderful? Our God is a generous, lavish God. He is filled with water. The river of God is full, isn't it? And he wants to pour out his river on every single one of us and fill our hearts and fill our lives. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by this Holy Spirit who was given to us. In John 3, it says that God doesn't give the Spirit by measure, does he? He generously pours out for all of us who will ask him. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the disciples saw him and realized that they were falling way short in prayer. And so they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And that's what Jesus does. He teaches them both how to pray, But also in the prayer in Luke 11, which I'd like to turn to now, he teaches us or tells us seven specific requests. And one of these requests that we are encouraged to ask for is singled out from the rest of them. So I want us to, if we can, just turn to Luke chapter 11. Just starting at verse 2, he says, he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.' And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within and say, "Don't trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you." "Go away," he's telling them, "please. I'm tired. I don't want to be disturbed. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" He's teaching us here, isn't he, to ask for his kingdom to come. God's rule, God's reign, his priorities become my priorities. His kingdom reign in my life and in our lives. For his will to be done, complete surrender to the will of God. That's what he wants, isn't it? Our complete surrender, giving ourselves entirely to him. Your will, O God, be done. That's been a prayer of mine that, has not just been a wishful prayer, but really has been a heartfelt prayer. Thy will be done, Lord. Your will, please, in our lives. Your will, please, is what we need. Give us our daily bread. Asking for our needs, not for everything that we want and desire in this world. We get so distracted, don't we, sometimes, by the desire for things that are just nothing compared to the desire for God and the need of him. Forgive us our sins as we forgive. Sometimes we trip over that, don't we? Forgive us our sins, and we sort of miss out the "as we forgive those who have sinned against us." We need to be serious about these things and to realize, if we want the fullness of God and hunger and thirst after him, then let's get ourselves right with God. Let's get ourselves right with one another as well, and forgive those who've hurt us too. Lead us not into temptation. The psalm says, doesn't it? Lead us into safe pasture for his name's sake. Deliver us from evil. We're powerless to save ourselves, but he gives us this gift, this wonderful gift that we've spoken of in the past, of repentance as well. And then Jesus goes on, as we read before, to tell a story and this request that we should make, to ask. And is the Holy Spirit just going to fill us on the basis that he just chooses to? I believe Jesus is teaching us that we need to be asking for this precious gift of the Holy Spirit. That we should be longing for him to fill us. That there's this sense of the stirring in our hearts that we need the Holy Spirit. That we cannot do this alone. We need the power of God. And if we feel that and sense that and realize these things, then we will be asking. Not just with words, but something within us rising up and saying, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the power of God. I cannot do this on my own. This is the sort of asking that we should be asking with. A deep yearning and longing for God. You might be aware that there's two baptisms that are spoken of in the New Testament. A baptism in water and also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, even in the Old Testament, this was spoken about as well. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it refers to this, that they were baptized under a cloud and also in the sea. There is this baptism from above and the Holy Spirit that every one of us needs if we're going to live this Christian life and live as God intended us to. But also this baptism as well through the water. Are we choosing to live for God? Are we laying down the old life and saying, I choose to live a new life in a new direction, to reorient our lives in the way that God would have us walk, crying out for him and for his will to be done in our lives. The scriptures, every one of the gospels speaks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 3:11, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Mark 1:8, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16, one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In John 1:29 to 33, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Who is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit? Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants to be known to us as the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Let no glory ever be given to any man. No glory to any man who stands on a stage and sets themselves up as this superpower. Oh no. Only Jesus will baptize in the Holy Spirit. All glory to God. Let no man gain any glory. Excuse me. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit. What's going on here? Lord, I'm back again. My vocal cords are back. In Joel, we know the scripture, Joel 2, verses 28 and 29, also referred to in Acts 2:17. In Peter's sermon, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. In which days? These days. These are the days, folks, of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're living in the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We tell you, combine this with faith, mix this with faith, and just see that God wants to pour out his spirit in this day on us today. You, not the person sitting next to you, and me. He wants to pour out his spirit today. Even now, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. It's almost impossible to get away from the baptism in the Holy Spirit as you read through the book of Acts alone. You could almost call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the eyewitness account of the fire of God. A flame took hold of a small group of disciples, and it spread rapidly as more and more people came alive to the gospel and the power of God to transform lives. Wherever these people went, lives were changed. Oh God, please, let it be that wherever I go, lives are changed. Let it be wherever you go, in the power of the Holy Spirit, lives are transformed and changed by the power of God. The starting point of the book of Acts is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why should our starting point in effective ministry and service be any different than being filled with the Holy Spirit? And you know, if people, and we all leak, don't we, have grown dry, then let's pray for a refreshing and still yet another outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our lives. And if your soul and your yearning for this in God, then keep on crying out, because God is a generous God, as we said before, and he will pour out his Spirit on us. I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was a time where I was just, I mean, I'm still hungry for God, by the way. I was so hungry for God. I used to take my Bible, and many of you have heard before that when I became a Christian, one of the things that happened to me was I just got such a hunger for the Word of God. I just wanted to read and read it. And I was, I struggled to read. Dyslexia prevented me from reading for many, many years. But the first book I read from page to page, cover to cover, was the Bible. It's the first book I ever read. I just think that's incredible, isn't it? Because God put such a hunger and thirst. And as slowly as I read it, and as difficult as it was to read these words, and yet I think God gifted that to me. Because I had to read deliberately every word and think about it. And as I did that, it was as if I was meditating on the Word of God, absorbing and taking in the life of God. And something in me rose up and just hungered for more and more of this. Desire of God, the passion for his Word, the need for him. And my own family, I remember someone saying to me, you know, what's up with you? You're always in your room. You're always in your bedroom. Never see you now. You're getting fanatic, you know. And but it was this desire for more of God. You know, God puts these desires and these things in us, doesn't he? For more of him, for a desire for him. And it was one of these times that I was in my bedroom and I was reading the scriptures. And I just knew the very presence of God come over me in a powerful way, wonderful way. And I just started to speak in another language. Just the presence of God came. I was filled with such an awe and wonder of God and the presence of God. And I just spoke out. And then it was probably a few months later, after maybe a month after that, one of the elders, Dave Crane, is a man I so respect in God. He asked James and myself to come, and he talked to us about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he prayed for us. And at that point, I just knew, just almost like light as well and warmth coming into me. And I was being filled again. A refreshing renewal of the Holy Spirit coming upon me. And I kept quiet. I didn't tell him that I'd prayed in tongues only weeks before, a month before. And he said to me, prophesied to me, he said, I believe that God is saying that it's going to be one time when you're alone in the house, perhaps just reading your Bible, that the Holy Spirit will come and you'll come through in this gift of speaking in tongues. Little did he know, that's exactly what happened. Isn't God good? He just confirms these things, doesn't he, time and again to us. You know, that excites me about coming into meetings like this. You know, you might have a word from God or have a scripture or something, and someone else prays it, or someone else gives it, or the musicians sing it. This is the moving, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the body, isn't it? You know, when prophecies are given, you know, hearts moved and transformed, and there's, you know, this word going directly to the heart, the Rhema word of God, you know, going into people's hearts and into people's lives. This is what we need daily. When I walk out of here, you know, and when I meet people on the street or wherever it might be, to be open to the Holy Spirit and the move of God in and through my life and through our lives. This is life transforming. This is world transforming, community transforming. It is powerful if we're open to the Holy Spirit. Should we expect to be filled? You know, some people argue that we shouldn't, don't they? It was a gift for then, but not for now. But look what it says in Acts. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, your children, and all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. Who are those who are afar off? It's us. The Holy Spirit, God, is speaking to us, that we are the ones now to be filled with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, a number of things happened. They were immersed, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Each of them was individually filled as the likes of fire came upon them, wasn't it? You know, in that room, they were just filled with God. Can you imagine, as they came together, a sense of expectation, perhaps uncertainty and fear about what lay ahead? Those early disciples, as they gathered together to pray, and as they spoke about what Jesus had promised them, this gift of the Holy Spirit, that he would come, they knew to expect something, but they didn't know yet what it was that they were going to experience. What does it mean, they must have thought, to receive the Holy Spirit? How do we receive him? What will happen? How will this help us? Something real and deep must have really been stirring in them as they gathered together, as they came together day after day, waiting for something beyond their understanding. They knew the scripture in Joel that we read before, that in the last days he'd pour out his Spirit. But how will he do it, and what could they expect? And he came. Do we have, I really pray that we'll have the same expectation as we come together, you know, of the Holy Spirit coming into our midst. I've heard someone say, you know, coming to church should be rather like standing at the foot of a volcano, you know, wondering whether it's going to erupt. You know, a sense of the awe and the wonder of God that John spoke about last week. The sense of his presence and the wonder of God and the fear of God, the mighty acts of God, and coming with hearts prepared and right with him, because we know when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes in power. And we want to be right with God, don't we? We want to be right with him, you know, to be filled again, refreshed, and for those who've not yet received, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, it's, you know, spoken of, and the baptism in the Spirit is to enable us to witness to Christ and to preach this wonderful message, isn't it? It's to be empowered for kingdom living in all spheres of life. Whatever we do, day by day, in our workplaces, God's planted us there so that we can impact the lives of others around us. You know, just giving off the very fragrance of God to those around us. You know, opportunities to speak out and give our testimony. You know, I encourage you to write down your testimony. Write it down. Write the before. Write the time when you gave your heart to Christ. And now, what it means to be a follower of him. And keep on thinking about this great message. And our, you know, we could probably write pages and pages, but keep it short, keep it simple as well, so that when someone asks you, you're ready to give this word, you're ready to give your testimony, ready to give a good account of what God has done in your life. Why not record the many, many things, the wonders that God's done in your life and in my life? What an encouragement it'll be just by doing that, folks, writing it down, remembering what God's done, you know, and then we'll be ready at any moment in time to just give that word in season, to give that testimony in season. And people want to hear the reality, don't they? They want to see Christ written all over us, the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he wants us as well to be operating in supernatural power, doesn't he? Be operating in these gifts of the Spirit, you know, because that will, again, you know, show people what God is like. And again, this is all about glory to God. The moment we start to step outside of that and to start to think there's something in us, something we can do, it's something about us and our holiness, forget it. God will pour his Spirit in as we pour ourselves out. We lay it all before him and give ourselves to him. So the classic pattern in the book of Acts, if there is one, is that first of all, they believed the gospel message. They believed in Christ. And remember, you know, when Peter spoke, he didn't even get through his sermon, did he? He just told them the good news about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit fell, and they spoke in tongues. And they said, what? What is going on here? They've received just as we did. You know, they've received exactly the same way as we did. And the evidence that they've received is that they're speaking in this wonderful language. And you know, when we pray and we sing in tongues and we have this wonderful language of God, you know, it's a language that is untaught by humans, isn't it? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit upon us that we can pray the perfect prayer to God. The perfect prayer. Isn't that an incredible thought? That when we pray in the Spirit that way, we're praying perfection to God. With words not of our understanding, but of God's understanding, the Spirit's understanding. I think that's marvelous. We worship God in a heavenly way. And we're speaking to God. And I don't know about you, those that speak in tongues and pray in tongues and now and sing in this way. Often, you know, when I'm alone and I'm doing this as well, I just sense what God is saying. That suddenly you're praying in the Spirit and then you're praying in English. The things that you've been praying in the Spirit so that you believe somehow deep down this is God's, what God's been saying and praying. Because it's coming to you out of what is the presence of God. Does that make sense? Yeah, we're in the presence of God and we're starting to hear what the Spirit is saying. And we're praying things that we wouldn't have thought of naturally because God's inspiring us and God's teaching us the very things that we should pray. Next week, we'll be hearing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so I won't talk too much about this. So just to confirm, in Romans 8, it says that at conversion, you know, we are each indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And it says, doesn't it, that remember, those who don't have the Spirit of Christ living in them, they're not Christians at all. So the truth is that we receive the Spirit. We receive the Spirit at our conversion. But there is also a baptism in the Holy Spirit. A pouring out of the Holy Spirit, a separate experience. In Acts 8, and verse 14 to 17, the Holy Spirit hadn't yet come upon any of them, for they'd only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these are believers. They've received the gospel message. As in Romans, they've received the Spirit of God, but they hadn't yet received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we need, folks, a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let's not settle for the pilot light when we can have the full-blown fire of God igniting in our lives. Repentance and faith, baptism in water, and baptism in the Holy Spirit should be part of every Christian experience. It's not for some later day. It's the early Christian experience. We don't have to wait for years. God wants us to be saved and to have the power both to live the life and to witness to the life that we've received in Christ. We're to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit as well. After Pentecost, the believers were together again and were filled again. It says in Acts 4:31, after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. There was another outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the body of believers. And we need this, don't we? Ephesians 5:18 speaks of us being filled, being filled. It's a continuous tense. Continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And how did the Holy Spirit come? It came down from heaven, didn't it, as they all gathered together. But also there were times as well where they received by the laying on of hands as well. Paul said, the only things worth speaking about in my ministry are the supernatural things done by Jesus by the Holy Spirit. That's all it's worth talking about, folks. That's what Paul said. We need this supernatural experience of our own. It's not enough to have someone else communicate this to us. You'll find when you receive this gift, our prayer lives change. We want to be in communion with God. We want to pray. We want to seek him. We want to be in his presence and to, you know, to seek the things of God. The baptism in the Spirit brings us into a new realm of the supernatural, which is the only realm in which the gospel can really be effective. And God bears witness, it says in Hebrews 2, verse 3 and 4, with signs and wonders. So the characteristics, I hope you don't mind, it's a little bit longer. I just think it's important that we understand this. And this, you know, we don't leave today without really experiencing the Holy Spirit in our lives. And going away as well. And I believe, you know, we should be so real with God that we're real with God outside of the meeting. You know, that we get down on our knees in our quiet places, in our bedrooms, wherever it might be, away from everybody, and we're just on our knees crying out to God to be filled again. There should be this yearning and this longing in our hearts for God that isn't just a meeting experience, a gathering experience, but one that is a daily experience, a daily reality for us, crying out for God. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is an experience. It says they heard the wind, they saw fire, spoke in tongues. And if you don't know that you've received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, then you probably haven't. Because when you receive it, you know. You know for sure. When I was fishing, I remember for years and years, I used to go fishing and never catch a thing. The worst fisherman on the planet. And I used to go, and my brother, James, he would be catching trout and all kinds and fly, you know, and I was catching nout. And my other brother, Derek, he'd be catching all the fish, and I'd catch nothing. And one day I realized it was perhaps because I was wearing sort of bright clothes and standing a little bit too close to the edge of the water, and the fish were probably looking at me thinking, oh, look at him. And there were times when I thought, I wonder if I've got something. But every time I'd really, and hadn't I maybe caught a little bit of weed or something. But once I'd caught a fish, I knew. Whoa! A miracle! It's amazing! You know, but you know when you've got it. And believe me, you know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no denying it. Derek Prince, in his teaching of the Holy Spirit, to those things, you're coming out of the old, laying the old behind, you're dying to those things, and you're stepping into a new life and walking in a new direction. And it's there, it's in that the blessing of God comes, because we're choosing God and walking with him. To be thirsty, are we truly thirsty for God? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We need to come to Jesus. He's the only baptizer. And as we said before, you have to ask. We must ask and really genuinely want more of God in our lives. And then we breathe him in and drink in his presence. We yield our tongue to God as well, he says. Yielding our tongue and allowing him to fill it. Is anyone thirsty? Let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. So we need to ask, we need to believe, and we need to confess with our mouths. And believe me, God will pour out his Spirit. He longs for us to want this precious and wonderful gift of the baptism of the Spirit to be filled again and again with his presence. Because there's a world of people who need to know this. They need to see transformed lives, and we'll not transform our own lives. It's only through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit at work in us, that this will happen. Let's just bow our heads, shall we, and pray, and just give all of this to God. And if, you know, you really want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, then, and you need the baptism of the Spirit, then, you know, there are people here who, myself and Dave and perhaps others, who will happily pray with you. But I also say to you, you know, why not go home, get on your knees, and seek God for yourself. And allow him to come into your heart and into your life and cry out to the living God to be filled again with the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, again, we are just in wonder at your wonderful presence with us today. I thank you for the wonderful gift that you've given to us. Your very self, your very spirit, the Holy Spirit, you've come to us. And even today, we thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, you've spoken into my heart. You've spoken into all of our hearts, I'm sure. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray now, fill us again. Fill me and you. Baptize me again with the Holy Spirit. Even baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you. We need your presence. And we acknowledge, Lord Jesus, that it's only you who's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So, Lord Jesus, it's in your name that we cry out, that you will again fill us. Fill us, Lord, we pray. Lord, because we want to be those who have your name written all over us, to have the life of Jesus so evident through the life-transforming power of your Spirit on our lives. So we just give ourselves to you again, and we ask, with all that's within us, we ask you, Lord, fill us anew with your Spirit, with your power. In your mighty name we pray. And I pray even this week, Lord, you will give us opportunities to share our testimony, to share our story of the reality of your work in our lives, that others may know this great truth of the reality of Jesus at work in me and through me. We ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.